This is the Mass for the Feast of the Ascension of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The epistle is taken from the Acts of the Apostles. In the former book, O Theophilus, I spoke of all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day on which he was taken up, after he had given commandments through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them also he showed himself alive after his passion by many proofs, during 40 days appearing to them and speaking of the kingdom of God. And while eating with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, of which you have heard, said he, by my mouth. For John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. They therefore had come together, began to ask him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? But he said to them, It is not for you to know the times or dates which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses for me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. And when he had said this, he was lifted up before their eyes, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing up to heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white garments and said to them, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up to heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven shall come in the same way as you have seen him going up to heaven. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel is taken from the account according to St. Mark chapter 16, verses 14 to 20. At that time, Jesus appeared to the 11 disciples as they were at table, and he upbraided them for their lack of faith and hardness of heart, in that they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, Go into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe shall be condemned. And these signs shall attend those who believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak in new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall get well. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God. But they went forth and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the preaching by the signs that followed. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. We have, at the end of the day, the opportunity to reflect and love this great feast of the Ascension. We know the truth and the reality of this event because we have it from the angels themselves, as we just heard it. The angels themselves reveal the dogma to the apostles who have handed it down to us. And that is when the angels say to them, this Jesus who you have seen going up into heaven, that's exactly where he is. And he will come in the same manner on the last day, coming from the east, as we always offer the Mass towards the east. This doctrine is essential to our faith. We have it in the Creed. We're going to pronounce our belief in it shortly in the Creed. In the Gloria, it talks about he who sits at the right hand of the Father, because when our Lord went to heaven, he went to his rightful place next to his Father. It is constantly we are constantly reminded of this in the text of the Mass. They jump out at us on a day like this, because we see in the offertory prayers, as the church remembers we're being mindful of the passion, the resurrection, and the ascension. Then in the canon, it talks again about the passion, the resurrection, and the ascension. That's at every Mass. We're never, the ascension is never far away from our minds. So it is one of those essential doctrines of the faith, and so we mourn the fact, and we are fond to bring this up, because when the reforms came in the supposed excuse to get back to the scriptures, as if the church had ever got away from the scriptures, they wanted to get back to the scriptures and made all their reforms. Well, this feast puts the truth to what was really going on. Because of all things, this liturgical day should have been kept intact. Because as we just heard, for 40 days he appeared to them proving his resurrection. And on the 40th day, this is the 40th day, we want to be scriptural, we should be celebrating the ascension that has been removed from the Catholic parish. We, in venerating the relics today of the feast of the saint for today, who is not celebrated because of the greatness of this day, but Saint Gregory the Seventh, we stand with him. We stand with Pope Saint Leo the Great and with Pope Saint Gregory the Great. We mentioned these two other great popes because they are the two popes who write to us today in the Divine Office explaining the mystery of the Ascension. So we won't go into that. But we stand on this day with those popes who would never, it would be beyond their imagination that the Catholic world would not assemble in the churches to celebrate the Ascension on Ascension Thursday. So we pray that that will, with them, that that will be changed. By the way, to show how the way we believe, because that is the liturgical law, the way that we pray is the way that we believe. You've heard that many times when we talk about the liturgy. It comes home in such powerful reality. Because when they make a change as to when Ascension is thought of, is it at all thought of? But when they change the feast day, and so there is no Ascension Thursday anymore for them, this anecdote shows how true that liturgical principle is, that when we remove the way we pray, we remove the way we act and believe. Because one of the priests here had to tell a bishop who was calling to set up a meeting, an appointment in his office on Ascension Thursday, that we could not come because it was Ascension Thursday. Oh, sorry. Now, why is this day so great? Because I have to say that even from the littlest age, the first impression of Ascension Thursday is it's sad. Because our Lord is gone from us. We cannot explain all the reasons why that was spent those last couple of Sundays in Easter. That was when our Lord was explaining to them and to us why he must leave. So we can't go into that. But there was a certain melancholy, and even in the liturgical chants, I'm thinking especially of the hymn at Vespers, the music is very melancholic. St. Leo, who we referred to just earlier about writing it for the Divine Office, he says we shouldn't be sad today. The apostles were not sad. That's what St. Leo says, Leo the Great. We can't go into all those reasons, of course. It's at the end of the day, and we are here, all of us that are here, because we could not, because of the pressures of the world, come to the main Mass But the church, of course, accommodates to the faithful and has this Mass for all of us to come to. So we cannot go through all of the beautiful doctrines that were explained at the Mass this morning. You can just imagine taking things out of the text of the Mass. So we cannot do that, but we can just make sure that we all go away with the understanding of how great this day is and how much we want to hold on to it. It's part of the Rosary, right? Saying Glorious Mystery, we pray it all the time. But why? And again, some of the texts tell us this. Because it says in the Alleluia, part of the gradual in the Alleluia, it says, he ascended into heaven, leading captivity captive. What does that mean? Well, we know that our Lord, of course, came down from heaven, died on the cross so we could go to heaven. But you often don't think of the fact, we've heard before in sermons, so it's good to remember, that our Lord gained something himself, not to his own interior being, but to his external reality. And that's announced in the Gloria. Gloria, that is the manifestation of excellence being shown externally. Our Lord, his interior glory was always there. Obviously, he's God. But on the external order is for everyone else to see. And so that's why ascension is a glorious mystery. And that is why it is talked about in these terms, because it is a moment of the showing of his merit. The reward that he had, that it, of course, he being God, is rising to heaven. It also talks about him being taken up. You can imagine the power of the moment, the Holy Trinity, this powerful embrace being expressed here, and the cloud, the Holy Ghost, engulfing our Lord. What a moment. But it was reminiscent of what everyone's used to, that the triumphs of the pagans even, that when they would have a victory, and it was a standard thing, and in fact, some of these Roman patricians, this was their goal. And anything they did, yes, they may be looking out for the Republic or the Empire later, but they all wanted their triumphal procession and parade in Rome. That's what they wanted. And in that great parade, they would have all their legions march in front of them into the city, and then they would have marching in front of them all of the enemies that they had captured. And at the very end would come the great general to this great acclaim. Well, this was our Lord's. Of course, Palm Sunday was a preview of that when he came into the city. But this was the actual fulfillment. And all of those, these were not his enemies, but these were the captives that our Lord had, that he was leading out of captivity, but they were his captives into heaven, the eternal city. And we understand these were all the patriarchs and the saints of the Old Testament who had been held captive in the limbo of the fathers, because no one could get into heaven, even the saints, until God himself opened the gates. And so that's what that text of the Mass is talking about, that on this day, and we don't know for sure, but apart from the final day, when all of the saved are taken up to heaven with God in the second coming of our Lord, this day, Ascension Thursday, was probably the greatest entrance of all people into heaven. Because all of the people of the Old Testament, and at the head of this group of people, who do you think is at the head of the group? What about St. Joseph? St. John the Baptist, our Lord's cousin. All of these patriarchs, all the way back to Adam and Eve, because they were saved. All of these people, this great procession, what a great moment. So now we understand the glory of it. There's no real sadness that way. Sadness is when we're looking at ourselves. Glory is when we're looking at our Lord. And in addition to the triumph of the day, it is the completion of our Lord's mission. And now he takes this fallen human nature that Adam had weakened by his sin and which we inherit. He has now taken this body, he has made it part of himself in the incarnation. Now this body is taken to heaven. And in the text, oh, by the way, just on that, there's a proper communicantes for this Mass. You may have noticed that it's going to come up in the canon. It is a prayer just for this day. It is only said on this day. And it tells this doctrine that this frail human nature that you have assumed as part of you in the hypostatic union, that frail thing now sits on the throne of God. So that fallen nature, this is how it's raised to that level. Now we emphasize, it is said on this day. It's a proper communicantes, only said on this day. You see, based on what I told you earlier, it's not said in the parish. It's never said. Because it's Ascension Thursday. We want to just talk here for a moment about some beautiful reminders, sacramentals even. And that is, of course, the Paschal candle, which you see is not lit. It was put out after the Gospel of the Mass, the main Mass, but it is still here to remind us of that. And we all know, why was it put out? Because after the Gospel is sung, our Lord has ascended. He is no longer here. And so that is how we show that. This is the relic of that moment. And all of the mysteries of Easter time, the Easter Vigil, we are all being recalled in that. We also are drawing our attention to this beautiful banner depicting that moment. And we see our Lord ascending into heaven, and we see the apostles down there and all this beautiful art. And we see our Lord, you can see his hand. He's pointing the direction for us. I have already gone before you. I will prepare a place for you. You who have been incorporated into me by baptism, you belong to me. You are part of this human nature that I have taken. You are meant to be in heaven too. This is the thought we should have, not the sorrow over what we have lost, but what we are to gain. We are meant to be in heaven. And it tells us also in the epistle from the Acts of the Apostles that our Lord, as he ascended, so he's pointing up to heaven, he is also blessing us. That's how we always receive blessings, the way that our Lord blessed those apostles. They watched. That's how they would bless people. Now, we don't know if you'll be able to see this, but there is a beautiful pall that we have. You might see it during of the Ascension. Same thing. Now, so we see our Lord ascending. We see the apostles in that depiction in the corner. It'll be impossible for you to see from a distance, probably. We also see the Blessed Virgin Mary. The chalice that we're using today, it is a gift to Father from many years ago on one of his anniversaries, and it has many panels, Holy Thursday, on the base, different depictions, Holy Thursday. Interesting chalice. It has Holy Thursday, it has the presentation, it has the adoration of the Magi, it has the Ascension on that. Another reminder of this great feast. But we want to just end, because it's apropos, because of the fact we are the ones here at the end of the day, that you see how these apostles were taken by the moment, of course, that these angels came and had to tell them, okay, you can stop looking up. You can't see him anymore. He's gone. He's gone to heaven. That's the dogma. He said, you must go back. They explained, as they knew what our Lord had told them, and they must prepare. So you can imagine this going back, going to the cenacle where the Last Supper was, and huddling together, And as this well sinking in, it must have been somewhat sad as we were as they think of themselves. But this is what comes right after today's epistle. And it's a beautiful thought for us to have as we continue. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered the city, they mounted to the upper room where were staying Peter and John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Jude the brother of James. All these, with one mind, continued steadfastly in prayer with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. That's us. At the end of the day, we are all gathering at the place of the Last Supper, huddling around the Blessed Mother, all one in belief. That's the Catholic faith. One in prayer. And we're going to continue this way, imitating that first novena as we pray for the coming of the Holy Ghost to help us, enlighten us, give us the strength to carry on all around the Blessed Mother. What were her thoughts? Of course, being a completely unselfish person, she is rejoicing in this great moment for her son and for the Trinity. And God has left her behind to help that infant church and to help the church always, to help us always, no matter how bad it is. The Blessed Mother is always there to help us. So we at this Mass should come around the altar, one mind, one faith, we pronounce it here in the Creed, together in prayer with the Blessed Virgin Mary. And why? We are all going to heaven one day. May God bless you.
Incarnatus est.